right. Let's dive in to a case. It's kind of a rite of passage for, I guess, for any first-year law student. Kirksey v. Kirksey.
Yeah.
You know, the one, it makes you wonder, like, does contract law have a heart?
Right.
And we're going to unpack why this case from the 19th century in Alabama still matters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to promises, reliance, and what happens when things go wrong between family members.
Yeah, I think Kirksey is really fascinating because it forces us to think about, like, what is, like, a contract?
Yeah.
Like, what's the essence of a contract?
Yeah.
And how do we distinguish a legally binding promise from just, like, a moral obligation?
Right.
And how does the law deal with situations where someone relies on a promise and it hurts them?
Yeah, and we always hear that phrase, like, a deal's a deal.
Yeah.
But Kirksey really kind of throws a wrench in that.
It does.
So imagine this. You're Antilico Kirksey, a widow in Alabama in the 1840s.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, comfortably settled, I think is the phrase they use, on leased land with the children. And she gets this letter from her brother-in-law, Isaac.
Right.
Offering her a place to live, you know, help raise her family. He even writes, and this is a direct quote, on the account of your situation and that of your family, I feel like I want you and the children to do well.
Yeah, it's really a heartfelt plea to her. It sounds very nice.
Right.
Yeah.
Very compelling.
Yeah, and this is where it gets kind of tricky.
Okay.
You know, this is the 1840s. Contract law is still kind of, you know, being developed today. You know, we'd probably call this like a breach of contract case.
Yeah.
But back then, her lawsuit was based on this concept of a sumpsit, which is basically a claim that he just failed to fulfill a promise.
Okay.
That's essentially what it is.
So she uproots her whole life, travels with, I think it was like 60 to 70 miles with her kids.
Yeah, I think it was a huge undertaking at that time.
Oh, huge. Back then, that was like, you know, going across the country.
Yeah.
Relies on his promise. And for 2 years, things seem fine.
Yeah. Yeah, they seem to be going okay.
And then the relationship sours and Isaac basically says, you got to go.
Yeah.
And this is where Kirksey gets kind of wild. She wins her case initially.
Yeah.
The lower court awards her $200 in damages.
Yeah.
But wait, there's a twist.
There is. There always is.
The Alabama Supreme Court comes in and says, nope.
They do.
Right.
Yeah. And they overturned the decision because they said there was no consideration.
Right.
And that's like the key thing about a bargain. Like there has to be an exchange of value.
Right. Okay. So, but hold on. She moved her entire life.
Right.
That's got to be worth something.
Right. And the court agreed that, like, yeah, moving was a loss for her.
Yeah.
It was a detriment. But they said it wasn't like part of a bargain with him.
Oh.
It was like a condition of his gift. Like,
wow.
She had to move to receive the gift, but that wasn't part of, like, a contract.
Okay.
You know, like a bargain.
So they said even though she relied on his promise and it cost her to do it, it still wasn't enough to say, like, legally he had to keep his promise.
Yeah, that's essentially what they said. And what I think is really interesting is Justice Orman's opinion. He actually says, he writes, that he wanted to rule in her favor.
Oh, wow.
His inclination of mind was to agree with her.
So he even saw that it seemed kind of unfair.
He did, yeah. But he felt like he had to stick to the law.
Okay.
To how the law was at that time. So that's what makes Kirksey so important. It shows how important it is to have this clear give and take for a promise to be enforceable.
Gotcha.
Legally binding, yeah.
Okay.
Like a real contract.
So now let's fast forward.
Yep.
We're in the 21st century now.
Yeah.
Do you think this case would go down differently today?
Oh, that's a great question. It's possible. You know, today we have this idea of promissory estoppel.
Right.
Which basically protects people who rely on promises, even if there isn't that like classic consideration, that exchange.
Okay. So break that down for me a little.
Mm-hmm.
How would promissory estoppel work in Antilico's situation?
Well, it all comes down to foreseeable reliance.
Okay.
So Isaac knew that she'd have to make big changes to take his offer, right?
Right.
Sell her stuff, move her family, travel. And when he broke his promise, those changes really hurt her, like in a way that anyone could see coming.
Right.
So it's about fairness.
So are you saying with promissory estoppel, the court would care less about the technicalities?
Possibly, yeah.
Less about like, was there this very clear bargain?
Yeah.
And more about like, okay, but it was a really bad thing when he broke his promise.
Exactly. And that's why Kirksey still matters today. It shows us how contract law has changed to try and deal with these messy situations where you have promises and reliance and, you know, trying to make things fair.
Okay, so we've got this tension, right? Mm-hmm. Like the strict, like by the book way contract law worked back then in Kirksey's time. And now we have these ideals like promissory estoppel that try to, you know, look at what really happened.
You're right.
When someone relied on a promise.
Yeah.
But like, why should our listener care about this case?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, this was so long ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kirksey is like a bridge. It helps us understand how we got to the law we have now.
Yeah.
It's not just some old case. It really is a foundation for things that came later in law.
So it's like Kirksey pointed out a problem. Like, hey, what if the law is so focused on the rules, it forgets about people getting hurt?
Exactly. Like, yeah. It forced people who think about law to think about the human side of these agreements.
Right. Not just like, did you sign on the dotted line?
Right.
But like, did someone really count on this promise?
Yeah. Did they change their life based on it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that question's still important today, right? Mm. Think about all the promises we make, especially in families.
Well, absolutely.
Like helping with the kids or what happens to the family business. We don't usually have contracts for that stuff.
No, not at all. It's usually just, you know, conversation.
Right. So what happens when those promises go wrong? Does Kirksey help us figure that out?
I think it definitely shows the danger. Like, Kirksey is a reminder that if it wasn't a clear bargain, the law might not help you, even if you really trusted that promise.
So are you saying we should, like, have lawyers draft up agreements for every family dinner?
Well, maybe not that extreme, but Kirksey shows how valuable it is, to be clear.
Yeah.
Talk about the tough stuff, make sure everyone understands what's expected, maybe even write things down. It can save a lot of trouble later.
I can see that. But what about the opposite? Like, if every little promise between family became like a lawsuit waiting to happen, that doesn't seem good either.
Yeah, that's the balance we gotta find, right? The law needs to protect people, but not turn every broken promise into a court case. That's why cases like Feinberg v. Pfeiffer are so important.
Okay, Feinberg, right. Remind me about that one.
Yeah.
How does it fit into all this?
So in Feinberg, there was this company that promised an employee a pension, and she retired early because she was counting on that money.
Okay.
The court ended up saying, yeah, the company has to pay, even though it wasn't a typical contract because she relied on their promise so much.
So even though Kirksey might have been super strict about needing that clear exchange, later cases like Feinberg said, hold on, sometimes people really depend on a promise.
Exactly. Feinberg shows how law changes to handle the way we live and make agreements today. And it says, yeah, rules are important, but so is making things right.
Okay, so I'm seeing the connection. Kirksey lays out the basics, then Feinberg tries to find that balance, like, how do we uphold contracts but also protect people?
Yeah, and that evolution of legal thinking is, it's really key for anyone who wants to understand the law, not just the words, but, like, what it's trying to do.
Right, the spirit of the law.
Exactly.
So speaking of change, you mentioned we're looking at Allegheny College v. National Chautauqua County Bank next time. What's in store for our listener there? How does it link to what we've talked about?
Allegheny College, this was decided, like, 80 years after Kirksey. It's a big case that really changed how we think about consideration, especially with donations and charities.
Okay, that sounds really interesting. So it seems like with Allegheny College, we're going to keep talking about how the law tries to deal with promises, reliance, and where does legal stuff end and, like, moral promises begin.
Exactly. And it brings up this question, can compassion and legal certainty work together?
Okay, so we started with Kirksey, that strict idea of you need consideration.
Right.
Then we saw cases like Feinberg, where it's more about, hey, but someone relied on that promise.
Exactly.
So where does Allegheny College fit in?
So Allegheny College kind of picks up this whole discussion in a really interesting way.
Okay.
It's about a woman who promised to donate money to the college. But then, sadly, she passed away before she could give the whole amount. So the court had to decide, was that promise, even though it was a donation, like a real contract?
So are we talking like those huge donations you hear about, like millions to a university? Or could this be like, I promised to give $100 to the animal shelter?
Well, Allegheny College is kind of in between.
Okay.
She promised $5,000. Which back in the 1920s was a lot of money.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
Right. And what the court decided really changed how we understand consideration, especially with donations.
Okay, so walk me through this. How is Allegheny College different from that strict Kirksey view?
Remember in Kirksey, it had to be a clear exchange, right? Like, I give you this, you give me that.
Right, quid pro quo.
Exactly. But in Allegheny College, the court was more flexible.
Okay.
They said, look, When the college accepted her promise, they were also promising to do things.
Like what?
Like use the money for a specific thing, maybe even name a scholarship after her.
So even though the college wasn't giving her a thing, like a product or service, the court said they were doing stuff based on her promise.
Exactly. And that created an obligation, like a two-way street.
Oh, interesting. So it's not just about money changing hands.
Right. The court looked at the college's actions, how they were getting ready for the donation, maybe even how it would help the woman's reputation to have done this good thing. All of that mattered.
So it's like Allegheny College said, hey, promises, even about donations, have real weight.
Yeah. It's a big step away from how rigid Kirksey was. It shows the law trying to be more understanding, to look at the whole situation with these promises.
So we're seeing the law change, becoming more flexible about promises and reliance, depending on the situation.
That's a great point. Allegheny College is often seen as a turning point. It expanded the idea of consideration. It's not just about money anymore. It's about those social promises, like with charities, where the benefit might not be so obvious.
So what's the lesson here? Even if you're doing something good, like pledging a donation, it's important to be careful, maybe even put things in writing.
Exactly. It shows how important clarity is, even in those situations where it's about doing good.
Wow. I think we've given our listeners a lot to think about today. We started with Kirksey, all about needing that clear exchange, then saw how Feinberg brought in this idea of what if someone really relied on the promise?
Yeah.
And now Allegheny College shows how even those well-intentioned promises, like with charities, can have big legal impacts.
You've summarized it perfectly. I think the key takeaway here is that contract law isn't just a bunch of rules set in stone. It's constantly changing, reflecting our values, what we think is fair.
Right. It has to adapt to the real world.
Exactly. We might want clear rules, but these cases show us that human stuff, promises, reliance, unintended consequences, those are always going to be part of how we understand the law.
Absolutely. And for those who want to learn even more about Allegheny College and how it changed the landscape of charitable giving and contract law, stay tuned for our next deep dive where we'll dissect this fascinating case in detail. Until then, thanks for joining us on the Deep Dive.